Hare Krishna.
So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would travel, would sing these lines. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Pahi Maam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Pahi Maam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Rakshama. Please repeat. O Lord Ramachandra, descendant of Maharaj Raghu, kindly protect me. O Lord Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon, kindly protect me. So, whenever we hear the narration of Lord Ramachandra, inevitably there will also be glorification of his great devotee, Hanuman. And Prabhupada writes that devotees can offer their respects to Hanuman, who always remained a servant of Lord Ram. In after Ram defeated Ravan, and when they were going on the flower airplane back to Ayodhya, Hanuman was offered a benediction by Lord Ram. And he could have asked for anything. He had done so much service when Hanuman was captured by Ravana. His tail was set on fire. But Hanuman escaped and burnt the whole place of Lanka. So even he was captured, he rendered service. Hanuman was very instrumental in reuniting Sita with Ram. So, in some sampradayas, they call Hanuman Bhaktaraj, the king of all devotees. And if you chant with me this prayer, you'll understand how great is Hanuman. Please repeat. Bhava Bandha Chide Tasyai Sprihayami Namuktaye Bhavan Prabhur Aham Dasa Iti Yatra Vilupyate. Please repeat. I do not wish to take liberation or to merge in the Brahman effulgence where the conception of being a servant of the Lord is completely lost. So this is Hanuman. Even though he could have taken any benediction from Lord Ram, Hanuman said, no, I simply want to remain your eternal servant. This is what we call pure devotion. Lord Chaitanya, in his Shikshastakam prayers, teaches the same thing. Nadanang, najanam, nasundaring, kavitang ba, jagadi shakamaye, mama janmani janmanishware, bhavatad bhaktir, ahaituki twai. Lord Chaitanya also teaches the same concept of pure devotion. When he prays, I don't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want a popularity, no. I simply want your causeless devotional service in my life, and even if I have to take birth again in this world, that's all right. But I please, give me some service at your lotus feet. Give me some service causelessly. I don't want anything from you. So Hanuman, he also teaches by his example. He simply wants to render unconditional service to his Lord and Master, Lord Sri Ramachandra. In the famous Dashavatar Stotram by Jayadeva Goswami, that's the introduction to his great work, Gita Govinda, we find in the seventh prayer, he glorifies Lord Ramachandra as follows. Vittarasi dikshurane dikpati kamaniyam dashamukha mauli balim ramaniyam keshavadritta rama sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. Sing with me. Keshavadritta rama sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha keshavadritta rama sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. Everyone, Rama jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya Keshavadritta Rama Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Bolo Jai Jagadisha, Jai Jagadisha, Jai Jagadisha, Hare. guidance. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, you have assumed the form of Ramachandra. All glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroyed the ten-headed demon Ravan and distributed his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them who were much harassed by this monster. There is a song by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur where he describes Ravan as lust incarnate. He is the personification of lust. It was that lust that ultimately was Ravan's demise. When he offended Sita, that was the tragic flaw. He was destined to come to a horrible end. But that act, as we say, the straw that broke the camel's back. And even when Ravana was slain by Ramachandra on the battlefield, Ravana's wife Mandodari and the other wives of the Rakshasas, they were lamenting over the dead bodies of their husbands. But Mandodari, she said, O husband, O king of the Lanka, king of the Rakshasas, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and you committed an offense against Lord Ram and, of course, Sita. And it's explained by Srila Prabhupada that Mandodari is considered a great chaste woman. And she knew the power of Sita. And Prabhupada comments that anyone who follows in the footsteps of great chaste women, such as Sita or even Mandodari, those women become extremely powerful. Chastity is such a powerful thing. Prabhupada writes that just as men are to follow the example of Lord Ram, he is the great example to follow, so women should follow in the footsteps of Sita, and in this case, the chastity. So Mandodari chastised her dead husband, saying that, you came under the influence of lusty desires, but now look what has happened to you. Everything, Lanka is finished. You are finished. So it is a great lesson for all of us. Even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita warns us that there are three gates leading to hell. Lust is the first one. Lust, and then when lust inevitably is unsatisfied, it leads to anger. And anger also greed. I want more. So lust, anger, and greed, these are the three gates that lead us to hell. And Krishna says, every sane man, every sane person should give up these three gates and advance. On days like today, holy days, the business is to hear and chant and remember the incarnation. Today, Lord Ramachandra. Everyone say, Lord Ramachandra. By remembering, praying, and listening to the name, fame, form, and pastimes of Lord Ram, we advance in our spiritual life. We ignite auspiciousness. So you have done well to come here to the temple today. You have done something for your spiritual 401k account. This is a great investment that you have made. We learn from the Bhagavatam that Krishna is in the heart. Shunvatang Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Hridyantaksto. He Abhadrani. Abhadrani. In our heart, there is a stock of inauspicious things. And if you notice, when Prabhupada translates that verse, Abhadrani, he translates it more or less, affection for the material world. That's inauspicious. Later, the word appears again in that chapter, and he translates Abhadrani as inauspicious. But first he gives the definition, the real definition of Abhadrani, to be attached to the material world. That's inauspicious. So Krishna in the heart, when he sees that you're hearing about him, in this case, Lord Ram, as Jayadeva Goswami said, this is another form of Keshava. Lord Ram is simply another form of Krishna, simultaneously one and different. So when Krishna sees, oh, you're hearing about me in my form as Ram, very good. So therefore Krishna goes to work. Right now, Krishna is working in your heart. What's he doing? Cleaning. Krishna is doing cleaning in your heart. It's like it's springtime, right? So what do we do in springtime? Spring cleaning. So Krishna is doing spring cleaning in your heart right now. And what's he doing? Removing the inauspiciousness. Removing, little by little, our attachment to sense gratification. Attachment to this material world. So we should go on hearing and chanting. And by constantly hearing and chanting, we come to the stage of remembering. And also there's the stage of offering prayers. Ultimately, we want to come to that stage where we are completely surrendered, 100%, no holds barred, unreserved, surrendered to the Lord. Like Hanuman, like Sita, like Lakshman, they are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I've been spending the last few days, I started on Saturday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all these days, all I've been studying and reading and hearing is about Lord Ramachandra, so that I could, when this day came, I would be fully Ramized. Jai Shri Ram. Yes, that's a good idea. Let's glorify Lord Ram. Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram Sri Ram Jai Jai Ram. Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. So there's a certain place in the universe, but unfortunately, there's no airlines that can take you there because they can't find us. But there's a particular Varsha, Kim Purusha Varsha, and Hanuman is there, and he is chanting mantras to worship his Lord and Master, Ramachandra. And these prayers are found there in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit the different varshas and how on each varsha a particular form of Krishna is worshipped. So on this varsha, Hanuman and the ruler Arishtasena, they worship Lord Ram by chanting mantras. And this first one is very, very nice and helps us to understand who is this Lord Ram. So please repeat. It's, of course, the Bhagavatam Sanskrit is a lot more higher class than, say, the Bhagavad Gita Sanskrit, which is very simple. But I'll just do a little bit at a time. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttamashlokaya Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya Nama Upashikshitatmana Upasita Lokaya Namaha Saduvada Nikashanaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Nama Iti. You did very well. I think Lord Ram empowered you. Give yourselves a hand. You did very well. So let's go over this. It's a long prayer. So he says, this is Hanuman. All right, this is a mantra that Hanuman himself offers to Lord Ram. Prabhupada teaches us the best prayers are to recite the prayers of the great devotees. That's the best kind of prayer. You don't have to make anything up. You just recite the prayers of great devotees. And one of the first things I said, Bhaktaraj. Hanuman is the king of all the bhaktas. How many people consider themselves bhaktas? Nobody? You're in the wrong place. We're all bhaktas. Oh, I should have said bhaktins. All right. I see. I have to be gender responsible here. So, we should... the prayers by Hanuman, they're perfect. No mistake. Hanuman is perfect. Okay, so he says, let me please your lordship. So who's his lordship? Lord Ram. Very good. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bij Mantra Omkar. So Bij means seed. In every Vedic mantra, you'll find this word Om. Nama Om, and then the name. Or Om Namo, and then the name. Narayanaya, Vasudevaya, Ramaya, etc. Sridharaya, Trivikramaya, Krishnaya. First, the syllable Om is chanted, the seed. So everyone say, Om. Om. Now let's do it nicely. Let's all do it as long as we can. Om. You're better than me. I can't even hold it that long. Very good. Now we are bhakti yogis. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead. So, Lord Ram is the personality of Godhead. He's eternally a person. It's not that some people think, oh, Ram was a person on earth, but ultimately he's impersonal. No. Ram has his own planet. Besides, Krishna has his planet, right? Krishna Loka. Prabhupada teaches us Ram has his planet. And those who are pure Ram Bhaktas can go to his planet. Also, it's known as Ayodhya Loka. And I think there's some, let's show a hand. Who would like to go to Ram Loka, Ayodhya Loka after, I know he would. I know him for many years. He's a pure Ram Bhakta. Yes. So, those who have pure, exclusive devotion for Lord Ram, that's where they're going to go, sooner or later. But you have to have that exclusive devotion, like Hanuman. But the point here, Ram is Bhagavan, the possessor of all opulences, unlimitedly, and he's a person. And we learn from the Bhagavad Gita that we are also eternally persons. When I first understood this concept, somewhere along the line, I don't know when, but starting off as Bhakta Nick till now, somewhere along the line, it dawned on me like this. I'm eternally a person. Not the one I see in the mirror, thank God. But I am eternally a person. And I'll get to associate with Ram and Krishna when the time is right and my love and devotion for Krishna or Ram is perfect. And I'll get to associate with them eternally. Just like we associate here at the temple, we associate with each other. We do things together, service. We take prasad together. We sing and dance together. Sometimes we fight together. But we are doing so many things. So this, what we're doing here, is apprenticeship. We're practicing. And then when we go back home, back to Ram head or Krishna head, then the real thing occurs. Right now it's just practice. Just like if you're an Olympic athlete for so many years, you train, then the 2 or 3 weeks of the Olympics come and you do your thing. Or you're a football player or a basketball player, you practice. Then the big day comes. So right now, what we're doing, we're practicing. Getting trained up, getting fixed up, getting spiritually buff. So that when we're fit, then we can really do service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally. And some people think, eternally? Oh man, I'm going to do the same thing every day? No, don't think like that. Don't think materially. That some people have that. You mean, forever I'm going to offer a flower to Krishna? That ought to be boring. No, it ain't like that. Don't think like that. You'll do these things every day in the spiritual world, but every day it'll be newer and newer. And what's the proof? How many people chant every day 16 rounds? How many people have chanted for more than 10 years every day? So, is it boring? Do you like doing your 16 rounds every day? Don't you enjoy it? And isn't it every day a new experience? Yes, my father cannot understand this. I'm going to go see him next month, and I'm sure, because he's going to hear me and my wife, Hare Krishna, and inevitably he's going to say, how can you say that same thing over, because we drive him nuts, you know. We're in the house. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So after about 5 minutes, he's like, you know, don't you guys get tired of that? No! We don't get tired of it. I've been doing it now since 1973. And every day, it's a new experience. That's transcendental sound vibration. It's only 16 words, 32 syllables. Actually, it's only three names. But it's transcendental. And it gets better and better and better moment by moment. So, Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra ki. So Hanuman continues, you are the best among the most highly elevated personalities. So he used the word Aryan. An Aryan, not what Hitler, that's not, no. That's a mockery. Aryan means a civilization which has spiritual advancement as its priority. Is that United States of America? Is that on Obama's list? No. But it's in our list, is it not? We are the Aryans. Because we all say spiritual priority, number one. Right? And Prabhupada writes, material well-being automatically follows spiritual well-being. And I always say when I preach in the high schools and college, just look at me, huh? I haven't starved. Huh? Prabhupada. I read that and I said, I have nothing to worry about. Yes. Material well-being automatically follows spiritual well-being. So we make our priority our spiritual life. Especially, we make the priority, the chanting of the names of Ram and Krishna. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So Hanuman is saying, Lord Ram, He is the best of all the Aryans. Same thing, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Purushottama. Everyone say, God, Bhagavan, He's Purusha Uttama. He's the best person, topmost person, transcendental. Just like, what does Krishna say in chapter 15? That you'll find two kinds of people, fallible and infallible. Everybody here in the material world, infallible. Now it's tax time. So many mistakes are being made. And the agents are looking for those mistakes. So we make mistakes. We say to err is human. Yes, we are conditioned souls. Not like Hanuman. Hanuman is an unconditioned soul. Liberated soul. He doesn't make mistakes. So there's fallible and then there's infallible. Infallible persons are residents of the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. But then Krishna says, but I am beyond both of them. So that means, Krishna is unique, and same thing, Ram. There in Ram's planet, Ayodhya Loka, they're all liberated souls, but still, Lord Ram is supreme. He is also Purushottama. Sometimes the argument is given from the impersonalists that we're all God. So Prabhupada would say, well, if we're all God, there must be a distinction between Krishna or Ram God and us. Because I don't see any of us lifting a hill for 7 days. And I don't see any of us building a bridge where the stones float in the water like Ramachandra was able to do. So Prabhupada used to say, before you talk like that, first lift Govardhan Hill for 7 days. Then claim that you are God. So there must be a distinction between different levels of God. So that is Bhagavan, Lord Ram or Lord Krishna. Hanuman continues, your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities. Yes. In other words, when God comes, especially, let's talk about Ram. The whole purpose of the Ram, well, not the whole, one purpose of the Ram avatar was to show what is a perfect human being. If you study the teachings, the character, the qualities of Ramachandra, you will get what is the standard of a perfect human being. Not that Ram was a human being. He looked like a human being. Ah, just see how God plays. He looks. That was Ravana's mistake. When Shurpanaka said to her brother Ravan, "Oh, he has this beautiful consort, Sita. She would make lovely consort for you." So, Ravan said, "Yes, I will carry off the consort of this insignificant man." He thought Ram was a human being. He may have looked like a human being, but he found out differently, didn't he? Because it's explained in the Bhagavatam. Ravana, Indra's chariot crashed into Ravan's chest, and Indra's chariot broke into pieces. So Ravana was loitering in the battlefield. He was laughing. I love Ravana. I could play that role. Ravana was loitering in the battlefield thinking, "I am super victorious." And it said, it's in the Bhagavatam, that he was laughing, joyous, thinking that he... But then an arrow was shot by that so-called insignificant man known as Lord Ram. And Lord Brahma tells Narada that Ravan's joy and ecstasy suddenly ceased when that arrow pierced him. And there was Ravana. No more laughing. No more dead. His body fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures. What happened? He ain't laughing now. Yes. Ravana was killed by Lord Ram. And Ram, just before he killed Ravana, he chastised him. He said, "You are like stool." You all know what stool is? I can't use the colloquial term. I'm in the temple. He said, "You are like a dog. That the dog will steal the eatables from the master when the master is not looking." Of course, you don't have dogs, but in other classes, communities, especially here in America, doggy is best friend. Doggy has his own plate. Doggy has his plate with his name on it, Poochie. And doggy eats better than some people. So, it's explained by Ram that the dog, when the master's not looking, steals the eatables. So Ram said, "You stole my wife, but you are most condemned, most horrible. Therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, Achyuta," everyone say. Achyuta. That means Krishna. Ram's attempt never fails. He said, "My, whose attempt never fails, shall slay you." And that's exactly what he did. Killed Ravana there. So the point was that there has to be some standard by which we... That's the problem with Kali Yuga. There's no standard. I'm okay, you okay. Oh, that's your religion. I follow a different religion. There's no standard. But that's why Prabhupada gave us these books, so that we know what is the real standard of human civilization. That's the purpose of Gita and Bhagavatam. We should know what is the standard. Even Krishna, at the end of chapter 16, says, "You should know what is your duty and what is not your duty by the regulations of the scriptures and act accordingly." You cannot say to Yamaraj at the time of death, "I didn't know it was wrong." That doesn't even work in a traffic court. Judge, I didn't know it was wrong to go 100 miles an hour. The judge says, you should have known, bozo. Now you pay $3,000 into my pocket, into the coffers. No, as soon as you get that license, you're supposed to know what is the law. So the same way, you've got a human body, you're supposed to know what is right and what is wrong. That's why Prabhupada emphasized distribute book, distribute book, distribute book, so that people will know what is right and what is wrong. That is the problem with the whole world. Nobody knows what's right, what's wrong. They make a law one day, then the next day they completely change it 180 degrees. And you can't keep up. One day something is right, the next day something's wrong. I don't know what's going on. But when you follow Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you know exactly what you're supposed to do. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very clear. Just chant Hare Krishna. Everybody. So, the bell is going to sound in a few minutes. I could go on for another hour, but no. There's a rule. Keep them wanting more. So, I want to just do two more verses, and these two verses will put us in the mood for the kirtan. Because you have to be, as we say, fired up, jacked up, out of control, Prabhu. So, please repeat. Ramante yogino nante satyanande chid atmani iti rama padena sau parang brahma vidiyate. Please repeat. The Supreme Absolute Truth is called Rama. Because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So now you get some, yes, very good. You get a point. Very good. So now you get some understanding, this word Rama. Everyone say, because this sound, this is spiritual, true pleasure of spiritual existence. Just this sound. This is real happiness. People all over the world, they're trying to find happiness, intoxication, illicit sex, all kinds of sinful. Why are people doing sinful activities? They're looking for pleasure, but they're looking in the wrong place. Here is the real unlimited pleasure, true pleasure. Simply two syllables, Rama. Everybody. Rama. Then I close with this very nice verse from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is described in Bhagavatam. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Who is the greatest Vaishnava? Who is the greatest follower of Lord Vishnu? It's Lord Shiva. And one day, he was speaking to his wife. And I always say this. He addressed his wife, Varanana. Varanana means, oh, lovely faced woman. So I always tell householders, men, take a hint from Lord Shiva. How to address your wife. Don't say, yo, hey, you, and so many other things. Follow in the foot. Let's see how Lord Shiva says, oh, lovely-faced woman. What is Lord Shiva telling his wife? I chant the holy name of Ram. So just see, Lord Shiva chants the name, and he says it three times. Let's do it. Rama, Rama, Rama. And he says, thus, I enjoy this beautiful sound. So that ties in with the previous verse. That this sound vibration, Ram, this beautiful sound. And you see, in America, there are so many Ramas, Panorama. They don't know, but they're getting some benefit because those syllables are there. Rama. Everybody. Rama. Now, here's the kicker. Pay attention. Pay attention. Lord Shiva says, this holy name of Lord Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. How many? So just see how powerful is this Maha Mantra. Alright. Now, everybody chant and dance in ecstasy, worshipping Lord Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki.